Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Craig Thrasher, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick International Small Cap Strategy. Craig, welcome back. Craig, non-U.S. equity markets underperformed in the fourth quarter amidst a stronger U.S. dollar. Can you provide your observations on fourth quarter performance for international and emerging small and mid-cap equities?
Yeah, non-U.S. equities did underperform, and you're right. The primary driver was the strong dollar. In the lead up to the election and subsequent to the victory by Donald Trump, the dollar did strengthen substantially. And I guess I would make a couple of points as it relates to the dollar, which seems to come up periodically whenever there's significant strength or weakness in the dollar. So first off, I would characterize the history of the dollar in the modern era as being strongly mean reverting. By the modern era, I would say going back to the collapse of the Bretton Woods system and the launch of the dollar index was actually 1973 launched at a value of 100. If you look at the index right now, we're looking at a value of approximately 108. And if we look at the end of September, the index was at 100. So over 50 years up through September, it was essentially flat. And now we have it moving, you know, say 8% over the course of 50 years. So we do see significant movements back and forth, but I would say there's a lot of noise around those numbers. I guess the other thing I would point out about the dollar index is we saw a very similar move subsequent to the surprise victory of Donald Trump back in 2016. Obviously, Trump talks a lot about tariffs, and it's, you know, has led to strength in the dollar when this type of discussion is underway about tariffs and their impact on currencies, et cetera. But I would also point out that in 2017, after that bump in the dollar subsequent to the election, the dollar actually declined 10% in 2017. So I guess what I would advise people to do is to not get too concerned about what we think is largely noise around these currency movements over shorter periods of time, like we saw this quarter.
Craig, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, our top contributors to performance in the quarter were CAE and Shift. CAE is a Canadian company that is a global leader in flight simulation equipment and training. They service both the commercial aviation and defense industries. And this quarter, they showed some improvement in their defense business, which frankly has been an underperformer in recent years after an acquisition they made some time ago. And so the directional improvement in the defense business was a good news in the quarter, and the stock reacted positively. Shift's a leading software testing business in Japan, and they've also been dealing with some subdued industry demand in recent quarters. And during this quarter, they reported relatively positive news in terms of results and guidance for 2025. And so the stock reacted positively to that. Largest detractors during this quarter were Marklines and Alten. Marklines is a company that's in Japan. They operate an information portal for the automotive industry globally. And that core business actually continued to grow in this quarter, but they have a couple of ancillary businesses in consulting and recruiting that had challenging cyclical conditions. So overall growth for the company was below expectations, and that hurt the stock. Alten is a French company that's a global leader in outsourced research and development. And this is an area which is coming off a period of unusually high demand during COVID. And so they're facing, Alten and the industry overall is facing a little bit of a slump in demand recently. And so that is hurting results and has pressured the stock in recent quarters. Other detractors included Serrano Minara, Allegro, and Mercari.
Craig, as we head into 2025, Europe is still challenged by lingering higher energy prices that have impacted its manufacturing costs and its overall competitiveness. China's economy is still struggling and growth is slowing. India's economy is growing well, but equities are quite expensive. Brazil is experiencing faster inflation and higher interest rates. And on top of all this, we have the threat of higher tariffs for many countries coming from the new Trump administration. How do you view these challenges, and where are you seeing areas of opportunity?
Yeah, I think you've highlighted some of the headlines that are out there. And I guess how I would characterize how we view these situations is we typically like to look for opportunity where others are seeing risk. We think that most of the things that you mentioned, high energy prices, trade concerns, slowing growth, high interest rates, et cetera, these are transitory things and they're not permanent conditions. But the market is actually pretty good at, I would say, extrapolating whatever the likely conditions are for the next, say, 6 to 12 months. They extrapolate those conditions and discount them into perpetuity. So the places that you mentioned where there's concerns, places like Europe, Brazil, China, were actually overweight relative to the benchmark. The area where the market is most optimistic and therefore the most expensive right now, India, were underweight. And that's not a coincidence. Also, not coincidentally, I'm actually recording this podcast with you from Brazil right now. We're here in a market where there are some great companies, and most of the market in Brazil, if not the entire market, is trading cheaply because, again, all the headlines that you cited. So the way we try to view these situations is where there's negative headlines and a lot of pessimism, but we can find businesses that have the wherewithal to withstand these current conditions and thrive over longer periods of time, we're going to try to take advantage of these short-term concerns to buy into great companies at attractive prices.
Craig, do you sense progress is being made with geopolitical tensions, and how is this impacting markets?
Well, the big areas of concern recently, I guess I would say, would be the Ukraine and the Middle East. I would say those two situations seem to be moving in the right direction in terms of hopefully making progress towards some type of a resolution. But at the same time, it doesn't appear, frankly, that when we see that kind of progress, either or deterioration, that it's having a real significant impact on markets right now. So it seems like to us that markets are anticipating that whatever's going on with these conflicts is going to be relatively contained.
Craig, you've been investing in international small and mid-cap markets for quite some time now. How would you assess the opportunity today versus historically for the strategy?
Comparing U.S. and international equity markets, we actually just reached a 20-plus year record valuation gap between international or U.S. and ex-U.S. equities. So I would say relative valuation basis, the case for international diversification has never been stronger. Of course, the reason for that valuation gap is, you know, again, speaking of headlines and extrapolation, I guess the assumption would be that the fundamentals in the U.S. are just better and are going to continue to be better forever. Again, I would say over-extrapolation of current conditions. We would make the case that, you know, as I said earlier, that these current conditions are being overly discounted. You even saw yesterday with this news about DeepSeek, and you know, you saw hundreds of billions of market cap wiped off of a company like NVIDIA just because of one headline and how quickly the narrative on these types of things can change. And so, you know, we like to take the other side of those things, and we think that the valuations that you're getting outside of the U.S. in general are significantly more attractive. And we also think that within the small cap market, hopefully we can find pockets of opportunity to buy into great companies that are being overly discounted because of whatever the macroeconomic or headline news people are afraid of on any given time. Again, we're looking closely at Brazil right now as an example.
Craig, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.